Good morning, everyone, and happy Chinese New Year. I know it was this past Tuesday or Wednesday, don't remember. I have a quick question for everyone. How many of you actually received a hongbao or a red envelope from like your family members? Okay, that's good. Now, do you feel like you got a lot, or do you feel like you got like gyps, you got a little? I'm sorry for you, Josh, if you didn't get one. It's okay, I didn't get one either. As many of you know, recently my parents have been here visiting me from Boston and helping to take care of the baby. And I asked my parents, hey, are you going to give me a hongbao? And they're like, why would we give you a red packet? You know, you're already an adult, you're already married. Why would we give you any money? And I was like, oh, okay, fine. Okay, are you going to give Olive, my baby daughter, a hongbao? Because like, I would just confiscate it from her and say that I'll save it for her college tuition. No, that's how I... So in a sense, I was like, robbing the money from her. I'm sure many of your parents have done that to you as well, too. So this makes me wonder, how do adults determine how much money to put in the hongbao, you know? And I guess like for parents, for adults, there are many things like to consider. You have to consider, you know, their financial situation. You know, if you're not really doing too well, then of course you're probably not gonna be able to give out as much. Or you might consider whether you like the other family. You know, if you like that family, then you probably give a little bit more money. If you don't like that family that much, you probably won't give as much. Or I know like there's some Chinese people who are very superstitious, they won't give any amounts that has like the digit 4 in it, you know, because 4 sounds like, you know, 四, sounds like death, so you don't want to do that. At the same time, you want to put in money with an amount of an 8 in it, because ba sounds like fa, or like wealth, or blessing. I don't know, my Chinese is really bad. So you can tell like that some people who are superstitious may do that. I don't know why I'm cutting in and out here. So this is like comes the question, like, I want to ask at the same time, how do we decide how much to give to God in our offerings? You know, I'm not suggesting that we should give God a hongbao. You know, God doesn't need a good luck, or God doesn't need our, good fortune like that. But at the same time, as a Christian, we have the privilege, and we have the responsibility. We have, and it's an act of service to be able to give God of our gifts. So how do we decide how much is appropriate to give to God? So I want to remind everyone that we are in a sermon series, a four-part sermon series that is called Faithful Giving. So we began this series 2 weeks ago during the joint service. And during the first message, we talked about how giving of our offerings is an act of worship. How many of you guys remember that message from like 2 weeks ago? Some of you, okay, hopefully. But everything that we do actually is an act of worship to God. You know, we talked about how our internal worship, by worshiping God in spirit and our truth, it's an interaction between our spirit and God, should be reflected in our external actions. Everything that we do is seen as worship. And this external actions also includes how we give of our offerings to God. So that was the first message. But for today, in the second message in this series on faithful giving, we're going to be talking about our attitudes. What is the appropriate attitude that we should have to be able to give of our gifts, give of our offerings to God? And this amount, or this attitude that we have, not only affects how we give to God, but it also affects the amounts that we would give as well. So this is what we'll be focusing on today. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to please take them out and turn with me. We're going to be looking at two passages, okay? So just like before, when we ever have two passages, you can turn to one passage and maybe you can have your neighbor turn to the other passage so it may be easier to look through. We're going to be looking first at Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to be reading verses 6 to 12. And then we're going to be jumping over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. So if you can have your fingers in both places, or you could share with your neighbor, that would be great. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to 12, and 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Starting with Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. For the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not returned to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I'll rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil. And your vine in the fields shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Okay, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Paul says, each one must give as he decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This is the word of the Lord. I invite you to bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we come before you another Sunday to worship you, and we humble ourselves. Father, we want to be able to honor you, especially in the way that we give of our gifts, give of our offerings. And Lord, we know that there can be times where we can be selfish. There can be times where our hearts aren't in the right place. And Lord, even for some of us, as we consider in our future, one day we'll have jobs, one day we'll be making money, Lord, help us to be able to honor you with the gifts that you've given us and see how we can give back to you as well. Lord, please teach us about what is the right attitudes that we should have as we consider giving to you. Father, we lift up all these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. So for these passages that we had just read, we're going to be answering two main questions. So again, if you'd like to take notes, you can write these questions down. The first question that we're going to ask is this. How is it possible for us to rob God? How is it possible for us to rob God? And then we'll answer our second question, number two. What can prevent us from robbing God? What can prevent us from robbing God? So again, those two questions, number one, how is it possible to rob God? And number two, what can prevent us from robbing God? So we'll see that as we look into our passages today. So again, starting the first question, how is it possible to rob God? And actually, before we begin there, I know what some of you are thinking. You know, many of you right now are just students, probably don't have that much money. You're probably just relying on your parents for support. But some of you in the future, I know you will have money. You will be able to get a job. I know that, you know, this past Wednesday at RPI, there was a career fair. So I know some of the college students are already looking for jobs, for internships. So even though it seems early right now in your life, where you don't seem to have your own amount of money, but I want us to know that even early on, if we understand about what it means to give of our gifts and what is the right attitudes and the right approach, then we can be able to honor God when we get to the point in our lives where we are making money and have control of what we do with it. So we can be able to honor God with that. So we don't want to rob God of anything. So let's begin the first question. How is it possible to rob God? Would you look at me, Malachi chapter 3, starting from verse 8. It says, will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed of a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. You see, throughout this whole book of Malachi, God used the prophet Malachi, and he was communicating to the whole nation of Israel about how they have turned away from God, how they have turned away from him. And in this particular section of the book, Malachi communicates that they have been robbing God. And you may be wondering, oh, how have they robbed God? How is it possible? But what does it say here? It says that they have robbed God in your tithes and in your contributions. Now, what does it mean to tithe? What does that word tithe mean? No, tithe literally means to give 10%. Okay, that's what it literally means in Hebrew. And to the Israelites, the act of tithing is basically taking 10% of the produce, 10% of all their livestock that they have in a given year, and giving that to God. So today, I know some Christians may be in the tradition of tithing. So they would give 10% of their whole annual income. And you know, that is a lot of money. You know, especially if you're making more than like 5K, 6K, not 5K, 50K, 60K, or even up to 100K if you have that much education. 10% of that amount can be a lot of money. But here's the question that I want to ask. Are Christians today obligated to tithe? Or in other words, are Christians today obligated to give 10% of their annual income? No, I don't believe so. But how did I come to that conclusion? You know, first, you have to say that this message here in Malachi was for the Israelites at that time. You know, throughout the whole Old Testament, tithe actually had many different purposes. So that's why I say the people of the church today are not obligated to give just like 10% of their income as the offering. So let me explain what I mean by that. In the Old Testament, there are different purposes for the tithes. So one thing in the Old Testament, the Israelites, they had to give 10% of their income or their produce and their livestock, particularly to the tribe of Levi or the Levitical priests, because they didn't get the land inheritance in the promised land. So if these Levitical priests, you know, they essentially need to be supported. If they weren't able to be supported through the tithes, then what do they have to do? They have to look at other different means to be able to find support, and as a result, the temple ministry would suffer. Now, some people in the church will try to argue, we don't have like Levitical priests today. Yeah, we know that. And that's why like we aren't obligated to tithe. But aren't the pastors and the leaders of the church, aren't they sort of like the Levitical priests? And I'll say no, because you know, Israel, the nation of Israel, is not the same as the church today. So imagine, if everyone in the church were to give 10% of their income to the pastor, cough, cough to me, I would be, it would be really unfairly rich. Okay, and it's an unfair amount of money, and I don't think that is right. You know, yes, a pastor has to be supported, but they have to be supported like according to what they need. So, I mean, this is one reason why I believe, and I conclude that you know, we're not obligated to tithe, because we don't have Levitical priests to support. But actually, if you really want to hold to tithing and commit to it according to the Old Testament, then really, in one given year, you actually should give up to 30% of your income. Yeah, actually 30%. So we mentioned about the tithes for the Levitical priests. I already talked about that. But then there's also a second type of tithes, which is like tithes, like festival tithes. So once a year, in addition to tithes for the Levitical priests, the Israelites also have to give another tithes, another 10% for this particular festival. And essentially during this festival, they are to eat the food together and make it seem as a worship to God. So they're worshiping God through these festival tithes. And then there's a third type of tithes, actually. Once every 3 years, there's something that's called a charity tithe. So an additional 10% will be taken to support those who are strangers, those who are orphans, those who are widows who are among them. So really, if you feel obligated to tithe according to the Old Testament, then actually in a given year, you should be giving 30%, or at least up to 30% of your income. But again, I believe that you know this is a particular message specifically for the nation of Israel in the Old Testament at that time. So therefore, today, people in the church aren't obligated to give tithe or give 10% of their income. But just because we're not obligated to give 10% of our income doesn't necessarily mean that it is not possible for us to rob God. See, in the New Testament, we see a different message concerning the giving of our offerings. So in the book of 2 Corinthians, this is written by the Apostle Paul, Paul instructed the Christians in the church of Corinth about giving support, particularly to their persecuted brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. So turn back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and remember we read 7. Verse 7 says, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." For God loves a cheerful giver. So let's answer our first question then. How is it possible to rob God? Here's the answer. We rob God of our hearts when we give offerings with the attitude of reluctance, obligation, or unhappiness. I'll say that one more time. We rob God of our hearts when we give offerings out of or with the attitude of reluctance, obligation, or unhappiness. So from this verse that we just read, we see that there are actually some attitudes that are involved with faithful giving of our offerings to God. So let's look over all these attitudes. So first, in this verse, verse 7, it says, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart." So one attitude that we must have when we're giving of our offerings to God is to really decide what to give in our hearts. Decide what is true in our hearts. So we already established that Christians today, we're not required or obligated to give 10% of our income to honor him. I know that like there can be some confusion. Some people ask, oh, if I give 10% of my income, is that before taxes or is that after taxes? Really, it doesn't matter. What matters is, what do you decide in your heart to give to God? I mean, it can be less than 10%, but at the same time, it could also be more than 10%. So God cares about our attitude about what do we decide in our hearts to give him. And this is a statement of worship. This is a statement of truth when we decide what to give. Now, one day there was a man who was visiting a church. And he came to the service very late, so there weren't any seats in the back that he can be able to sit at. The only open seats were right at the front. So he had no choice but to sit at the front. And actually, you guys are good. I know that a lot of people don't like to sit up in the front because the pastor can be able to see them. The pastor can be able to see whether they're sleeping or not paying attention. So actually, I just preached this message during the Chinese service. And usually front row is pretty clear. But anyway, so this man had to sit at the front row. And it was at the time of the service when they had to start to collect the offering. So the offering bags came by. The man, since he is at the front, he didn't have that much time to think about how much he wanted to give. So he quickly pulled out his wallet and he's like, okay, I'll give $10. So the offering bag just got to him. He grabbed the bill, pulled it out of his wallet. And guess what bill he grabbed out? What kind of... Is there even such thing as a $1,000 bill? Well, okay, but for the sake of reality, or like what seems more likely, he pulled out a $100 bill. And it looks kind of bad since he's in the front, people are waiting like for him to just put it back in his wallet and grab a 10. So he had no choice but to put it in the offering bag and let it go by. Now I want to ask, before God, how much money did this man give? It's only $10. Because even though he physically gave $100, but in his heart, he was only intending, he has decided to give only $10. So that's why it is very important for us to have the attitude to know what to decide in our heart to give before God. This is a statement of truth. This is a statement of worship. Another attitude that we see here in verse 7. So each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. So in other words, when we give of our gifts to God, we must give willingly. We shouldn't give reluctantly. So I know some people, just like how we give the government our taxes, like, reluctantly. We want our government to take our money, but we reluctantly do it because we know that it's law and we have to. So we don't want to apply that same attitude when we're giving to God, feeling that it's like out of obligation. So we also shouldn't feel obligated to give any particular amount. We already established that we shouldn't feel obligated to give 10% of our income just because it's a Christian tradition. Or you shouldn't be obligated to give any particular amount just because you know, other people in the church or my friend, my neighbor, I know that they're giving this amount and, you know, I feel kind of pressured to also give a similar amount so it doesn't look bad. We shouldn't do that. We shouldn't be giving out of reluctance and we shouldn't be giving out of obligation. Giving more to the church doesn't make you a better Christian and doesn't make God love you anymore. And at the same time, giving less to the church doesn't make God love you any less. Because what God cares about is your attitude, the attitude of your willingness when you give. And then we also see a third attitude here in verse 7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So this attitude, we have to give cheerfully. We have to give happily. Now, we already established that giving is an act of worship before God. That's what we focused on in the first message in this series. So when we worship God, shouldn't we enjoy Him? Shouldn't we enjoy God when we sing praises to God? Shouldn't we enjoy God as we do anything in this life? Shouldn't we enjoy God as we serve Him? And this applies to the giving of our offerings. We should enjoy God as we are giving of our gifts to Him as well. So we should be cheerful. We should be happy. Are we giving out of reverence to a holy God? Or are we giving out of the selfishness in our own hearts? So again, our first question, how is it possible to rob God? And we said, we rob God of our hearts when we give offerings with the attitude of reluctance, obligation, or unhappiness. So actually at this time, I'd like to ask the ushers to go around and pass out a special card. So just as a background, this is the same card, except that it's in Chinese, that the Chinese congregation had received. And I want us to participate in this particular spiritual exercise. So on this card, you will see, I commit to give God in 2019, and then there's two blanks. One blank, this amount for the general fund, and this amount for the missions fund. Now, this is a commitment that's between you and God. No one else will know about it. We're not going to collect these cards, so the church won't know about it as well. So these cards are for you to keep. And I invite everyone to take some time to pray about how much they would love to give before God, this year at least. Now, again, I understand that many of you may not have your own money yet. You don't have jobs yet. But I know as students, sometimes you may have like a job after school, maybe some extra cash to pay for tuition as a student, or maybe just for your own spending. Or some of you may get allowance from your parents for doing chores. I know my parents never gave me money for doing chores, but some of your parents may be nice enough to do that. For this year, some of you may have gotten your 红包. So that's also your money right now, assuming that your parents didn't take away from you. But no matter where your source of money comes from, no matter how much or how little that you have, God is the one who blessed you with that money. So will you consider how much you will give to God this year? Now, remember, as you go through this spiritual exercise, this is something that's between you and God. You first have to decide in your heart the amounts that you want to give. Now, it doesn't have to be 10%, but it can be. At the same time, when you give, You shouldn't just commit to a certain amount reluctantly or out of obligation. Don't look at your neighbor and what they're writing down if you're doing it right now. And at the same time, we should be giving willingly and cheerfully. So you don't have to do this right now. You might need some more time to pray and think about it. But I encourage you to take this card home and consider participating in this spiritual exercise. Once you decided the amounts that you want to give, write it down on the card. And I encourage you to take this card and put it somewhere safe. Maybe you want to put it in your Bible, or maybe you put it next to your nightstand at home. So someplace where you can always see it and be reminded about what God expects of you in your heart when you give. And also to remind you about the commitment you made to be able to give back to Him. Again, this is just a spiritual exercise. No one else will know about it. This is between you and God. And if you're a visitor, your first time here, please also don't feel obligated to participate or feel obligated to give to the church as well. But again, please consider participating in this spiritual exercise. So question number one again, how is it possible to rob God? We said we rob God of our hearts when we give of our offerings with the attitude of reluctance, obligation, or unhappiness. So I don't want any of us to be able to rob God of that. So now we understand that how we can rob God. And of course, we don't want to rob God or dishonor God in that way. So that's why we also have to ask this second question. What can prevent us from robbing God? What can prevent us from robbing God? So let's go back to Malachi chapter 3. And I want you to start reading with me, starting from verse 10. God says through the prophet Malachi, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need, I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vines in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts." So from this passage that we just read, again, we have this understanding that the Israelites, they gave 10% of their produce, 10% of their livestock to God annually. But you can imagine how many of these Israelites may be worried. They may be worried, if I give 10%, then I worry that I don't have enough to be able to provide for my family. I worry that my business won't be able to do well, since a lot of them participate in agriculture and they're farmers. They have to sell their crops, especially during a year where if there's a famine and there's not a lot of crops that came by. Or maybe during a year there was a lot of pests that ate a lot of their crops. You can imagine how the Israelites may be worried about even tithing, giving 10% to God because of all these considerations. But, and as a result, what did they do? They didn't tithe. They didn't give 10%, and they robbed God. But in this passage that we just read, verses 10 to 12, God gave the Israelites a promise. And I believe this promise applies to us as well. God promised that obedience to Him, in faithfully giving and rightly giving of our gifts and sacrifice, will result in blessings. Now, what do I mean? God will bring the rains. God will be the one to be able to protect their crops, and it will be fruitful. So essentially, we can summarize this into one theological truth, that God will provide for our needs. That God will provide for our needs. Let's answer our second question. What can prevent us from robbing God? The attitude of complete trust in God's provision for us. I'll say it one more time. The attitude of complete trust in God's provision for us. Know that many of us may feel sort of like the Israelites, especially if you are an adult and you are working and you have a family to provide for. You may worry about how you're going to be able to provide for your family. You may be in a tight financial situation. So how can I even think about giving of offerings to God? And even as a student right now, with the very little money that you have, you may also have that type of worry. Maybe your parents make you pay for some things. Maybe I know that there's some college students, their family aren't that well off, so they have to take out loans for their college tuition. They have to get extra jobs during the weekend to be able to pay for their own tuition. You know, I think those are some struggles that we may have as students as well. So we're no different. Don't think, oh, I'm not an adult yet, this doesn't apply to me. This applies to us. Even if it's not about financial things, we, at many times in our lives, will have worries about how God will provide, or even if God will provide. Well, I'm here to encourage us. You know, this passage says that God will bless us with his provisions, with what we need. Under that, we obey him, especially as we give of our offerings. So think about this. The same God who provided for the Israelites back then and protected their flocks, protected their crops, and brought down the rains, the same God who provided for the Israelites back then is the same God today who can be able to provide for your needs and protect you. I think that's very encouraging for a lot of us. Consider Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 32. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So if we are obeying God and worshiping him and serving him through the giving of our gifts, the giving of our offerings, then wouldn't we trust that he will also provide for us to be able to do so? Wouldn't we trust in him to do that? The times when we give less, the times when we give reluctantly, give out of obligation, or give unhappily, are actually the times when we doubt that God will provide for us. You know, I think that's true. That's something that we all can be able to experience. So knowing this, knowing that we should have the attitude of trusting in God's provision when we give, what do we do about it now? What is the application as a result? And we can find this application right here in our passage as well. Turn with me, Malachi chapter 3, look at verse 7. God says through the prophet Malachi, verse 7, from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. So really, this is saying that in order to have complete trust in God and in complete trust in his provisions, we need to return to God. Where are we in our relationship with God right now? Some of us may be feeling very close with him, feeling that we are growing in our relationship with God, but I think for a lot of us, we may also feel far away from him. We don't feel close to him, and we may doubt God. It doesn't matter whether you are a Christian or not. It doesn't matter whether you put your faith in Jesus or not. There are times in our life when we may feel like we're far away from him. So this is why the command for us is to return to God. Do we build our relationship with God on a daily basis by reading his word, by praying to him, by growing in this relationship? Because a strong relationship with God will result in a strong trust in him. A strong relationship with God will result in a strong trust in him. And I think this makes sense. You're willing to trust someone that you really know, that you know really well, instead of like trusting someone who you just met or who you don't know. So right now, actually, I have no idea where my baby is. But if I wanted someone to take care of my baby, I know I would give it to one of you guys. Maybe not some of you guys, maybe certain people who I trust and know that you can be able to take care of her. But I wouldn't just randomly give my baby to a random person who I just met because I don't know anything about them. I don't trust them. This is like the same thing in our relationship with God. If we have a strong relationship with God, then it will make sense that we will trust him. We'll trust that he will be able to provide for us in our needs. And as a result, we can be more free and willing to give of our gifts and give of our offerings. And again, this whole thing, this whole act of giving offerings is seen as worship. So everything is related. So let's review everything that we have learned from these passages that we read today. So again, we'd ask two main questions. The first question that we asked is this: how is it possible to rob God? And we said that we rob God, not of our tithes, but we rob God of our hearts when we give offerings with an attitude of reluctance, obligation, or unhappiness. And then we answer our second question: what can prevent us from robbing God? And as we just said, the attitude of complete trust in God's provision for us. So I believe that if everyone here in the church adopted these attitudes concerning the giving of our offerings, then we will be a healthy church who is growing spiritually in obedience to God. So I invite you all again to please consider making a commitment and participating in this spiritual exercise with the cards that were just handed out. Don't just throw away, or if you don't want it, just don't leave it in the pews or anything. Because you know we don't want to litter. But take it home with you, put it someplace safe, and take some time to pray before God about how much you would want to give to God this year as a commitment. And again, we don't want to rob God of our hearts. So I understand that some people, especially in the church, they may still have a reluctance to give of their offerings. And it's not because they doubt that God will provide. It's nothing to do with the relationship of God, but actually, they don't trust that the people in the church or the leaders in the church would actually use this money well or use it rightly. And I think this is a very legitimate concern. So that's why next week we're going to have a joint service, a bilingual service that's going to start at 9:30 a.m. in the sanctuary with the Chinese congregation. So for next week, we're going to be moving on to the third sermon in this sermon series called Faithful Giving. And we'll be focusing on faithful giving as a servant. So as a servant of God, how are we to use the resources that God has given to us wisely? And it doesn't matter. This is on the personal level with the resources God has given you, but also this applies on a corporate level. In the level as a church, how do we as a church use the money that he has given us wisely to honor him? So that will be the sermon for next week, and we hope that you can join us for that. But for now, until then, let us go to the Lord in prayer and give him our hearts. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message. I know that it can be a very hard message and unusual message to talk about, especially when we're talking about finances and money. This is a topic that many churches try to avoid to not stir up people and stir up anger. But Lord, this is an important topic because it's not so much about the money, but it's more about our hearts. Father, I pray that we would consider giving of our gifts to you with a heart that is not out of reluctance, not out of obligation, with a heart that is cheerful, deciding that amount. Lord, every Sunday as we see the offering bags pass by, may we be reminded by this message. May we be reminded by the commitment that we made about how much to give this year, no matter how little or how much it is, Lord, because we don't want to rob you of our hearts. And Father, we pray that this is a message that our whole church will remember. It's not just the English congregation, it's also the Chinese congregation as we focus on this topic for these couple of weeks. Lord, we want to give you everything. We want to trust in you more and more. Lord, you are our Savior. You've given us your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, we want to live our lives in a way that will honor you and be seen as worship to you, especially as we give of our gifts. Father, we want to lift up all these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.